This morning I'll be reading to you out of the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. Let us now hear God's Word. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to them." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we continue our journey today, our journey to rehabilitation during this Lenten season with a message of the promise. So our focus today is on what promise we've received, what that promise means, who that promise came from. And in other words, how it is that we can continue to go forward knowing that we're not alone. So over these last days, we have confronted, we've had discussions, and we prayed over the topics of our mortality, about being in the wilderness, and we all agree that's what we live in, about the interventions that we've experienced, about what program we're going to follow, and now we're focusing on a promise. So as we come to the end of this journey that we're on this year, we talk about a promise that leads us into and leads us through the future. A promise that makes it possible to have hope. A promise that makes it possible to be strong. A promise that makes it possible to live as a forgiven child of God in the face of this chaotic and broken world. You see, this promise that we have is something bigger than any of us. And what this promise is, it's a reminder that we have to live past the season of Lent. We talk in church oftentimes about how we've got two major seasons, and then outside of that, we kind of forget about everything else. We've got Christmas and Easter, and people will really ramp up their study and their prayer around Christmas and around Easter, but we have to remember that we have a responsibility to live as forgiven children of God, as children of the light, 365 days a year. And there's a way to do that as we focus on what God has in store for us. So this particular scripture, whenever I read it, it almost makes me want to come to tears because of the sincerity of what Jesus is saying. Is that reflection, a mere glimpse, a shallow glimpse, and it happens in a couple places, into the mortality of Christ. That my heart is troubled. My heart is troubled. But what am I to do? Am I to say, "Father, take this away from me"? But he says, "No. This is the reason that I have come." So we see an immense amount of love being communicated here. We see a heart that is somewhat troubled, but a heart that shows so much love that he says, "No, I came for this purpose, and I'm going to continue. I'm going to fulfill this purpose." So we see a God that loved us so much that he sent his Son to be in this place, to experience this pain, to experience this hurt, that we could be lifted up. And he sent his Son, a Son who was willing to take on our sin, a Son who was willing to experience the frailty of being human, a son who was willing to die a sinner's death so that we might be forgiven of our sins and have a promise of an everlasting hope. This is that promise that has been made to us. And for this reason, he has come into the world. For this reason, he has come into the world. For this reason, this hour is now come as we are entering that time in which we discuss the death, the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when we think about the ministry of Christ, when we think about the ministry of Jesus, it was very much early on a ministry that was limited by presence. So in the context of history, in the context of society, we see challenges related to boundaries and different kinds of boundaries, but we see challenges getting access to Jesus because of the boundaries. Boundaries related to distance. Boundaries related to geography, mountains, oceans, lakes, rivers. Boundaries related to theology. And boundaries related to politics and a host of other things. When a person heard, well, how did a person hear about Jesus? They heard about him by being there, by being in one of his places, or they heard about him by word of mouth. That was it. So when they heard about Jesus by word of mouth, they had to travel to where he was to experience him, or they had to wait upon Jesus to come to that place where they were to have that personal contact. So they either had to go to him or he had to come to them in a physical place for that relationship to be realized and for that relationship to be stronger. They couldn't turn on the TV and get the latest update on News 14 or whatever it is that we watch. They couldn't turn on the radio and hear it on NPR about this ministry of Jesus that was taking place across the world. And they couldn't get the latest Twitter update, Facebook, or Facebook Live. I mean, they couldn't get that Jesus was live on Facebook, and you could get that instant update. Well, that didn't exist. So what existed was I had to be there or he had to come to me. They couldn't get in that car. They couldn't hop on that plane to make a short trip. They had to be there or they had to wait on Jesus. And then another perspective of a boundary, sometimes fear or concern for political or theological positions represented barriers to reaching Jesus as well. There were people that wanted to access Jesus. And here's your next preacher, by the way. Make sure to talk to DS about getting him appointed. There were people who had fears about their theological positions or political views that made them afraid to come to Jesus. I mean, we know that there were the soldiers that said, "I'm not supposed to be talking to you, but tell me more." We know that there were people that came to Jesus in the night so that other people wouldn't see them to have these conversations. We know that there were a Samaritan woman at the well and Jesus talked to her in the middle of the day when nobody else was around because they were not supposed to be talking. So there were those boundaries that made it difficult to reach Jesus. But brothers and sisters, what we need to remember is that Jesus was, and he is, for all people. He was and he is for all people, no matter what. It is no great coincidence at all that the scripture that we read today starts out with some Greeks that wanted to see him. You see, this represents the inclusive nature of Christ. Because we think about where the ministry of Jesus has been, the people that he had been reaching out to, the people he had had the most contact with, but these Greeks had come, these people had traveled a distance to see him, to have these conversations with him. And they wanted to see firsthand. So Jesus was for all people. He was inclusive. And no matter what people were, and we can say this to us today, no matter what you are, who you are, or where you've come from, no sin is too great, no past is too surprising. Jesus loves you, just like he loved people here. He loves you, and he makes his availability for you. So that's part of the reason that we have come to this place where Jesus is having this conversation, this reflection in the scripture. My heart is troubled. My heart is troubled. What am I to do? To call my father and say that, save me from this hour? But no, Jesus said, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. So that he can make himself even more available to all people. Make himself more accessible to all people. And to reveal this love that he has. And reveal the love that his Father has. The hour is soon to be. For this reason he has come. And he uses the parable of the seed. And I want you to think about it for a minute when I read these words. Think about what this is saying. Very truly, I tell you. And you notice in scripture, when Jesus says very truly, that's kind of like a teacher in class saying, pay attention, this might be on the test. So when Jesus says very truly, I tell you, you better be listening. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. If it dies, it bears much fruit. So then it reproduces and becomes more than that single grain. And it reaches and feeds more people. So when that grain of wheat dies, there's something that happens. It bears much more fruit than just that single grain that it was. And we think about Jesus being that single person available in that one place. Available in that one place, restricted by the barriers around them. But when he died, he becomes so much more. He became available to all humankind. To all places. To all people. And then of course we know the Spirit later descended upon people and filled their hearts so that we were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we know that when Jesus died, he went before us to prepare a way in heaven. That we too would have that promise of an everlasting life when that day came from us. So what Jesus is doing here is he explains the need for him to die that many may live. And that all would have access to him. Those geographical boundaries, those social boundaries, all of those things, they would be no more. And that through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection, much fruit would be brought to bear through him and through those who chose to follow him. And that's what he says in the scripture. He talks about what that would be, what that would look like. And he talks about those who love their life lose it, and those who have their life in this world, or who hate their life in this world, will keep it for eternal life. It's about a choice that we make. Will we follow the Son, or will we follow our own desires? Our own desires. So through his life, death, and resurrection, much fruit will be brought to bear. And we also see again the measure of love that he has for us. He is willing to die. Not for some great cause, if you will. Okay, I mean the emperor over here, he needs a heart transplant and I'm willing to die so he can have a heart transplant. It's not something like that. He is willing to die for you and me. God loved us so much, extended his grace and mercy by sending his Son. And Jesus loved us so much that he offered his life for every one of us. He offered his life. He did this. He made this choice that we might live. And all he's doing is reminding those here. He says, now my soul is troubled, because he knows what's getting ready to happen. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? I mean, and of course we see in the garden, is this cup of suffering be removed? If it be your will, this cup of suffering be removed from me. But he prays for God's will to be done, not his own. He puts us first. He puts God first. Father, save me from this hour. And Jesus said, no. It is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. What? Father, glorify your name by offering me that your children, your other children, can be forgiven and that they may have a promise of an everlasting life. And this is that part that I struggle with that almost brings me to tears, because here is a man, the Son of God, who is saying, Father, glorify your name through my life. Glorify your name through my death. I offer myself, glorify your name through this life and death. And then the Father, God, answers from heaven, I have glorified it. I have glorified my name because of you, and I will glorify it again in your death and in your resurrection. And then, of course, that crowd that was standing there, they hear this voice that they think is thunder, or they hear this thing they think is thunder. But then there are some that said, no, an angel has spoken. And then that's where Jesus says, this voice that you hear, what you have heard, that noise, that thunder, that voice, it was for your sake, not mine. Because the world needs to be saved. And then Jesus closes it out by saying, now is the judgment of the world. Judgment belongs to the Lord. We know that. Now is the judgment of the world, is what Jesus said. And then he also says, now the ruler of the world will be driven out. Well, who is the ruler of the world? Well, in the midst of pain, corruption, violence, and all this stuff that we deal with, that ruler would be Satan. So now Satan is cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. So no longer are you restricted by geography or social boundaries. Now I am available to all people, and I go before you to prepare a place in my Father's house. So Jesus is saying, judgment belongs to the Lord. Victory will be achieved over death. Satan will be cast away, and he will draw all people to him in heart and soul and a place. For this reason, he has come. Will you let his promise live in your heart? Will you let his promise live in your heart? And are you willing to share this promise with others that you know? Two questions, and only you can answer those questions. Will you let his promise live in your heart? And will you share this promise with others that you know? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.